Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you. We are off and running on Tuesday, April 16th, 2024. Thanks to John on the other side of the glass, engineering and producing. We're in our 14th year now with our radio project on 1030 KVOI, The Voice, Tucson's only source for local live news and talk. We're in the Green Thing Zocalo Village studio, part of the Bustos Media Campus, where we have five radio stations under one roof. We have our worldwide live listening. You can listen to my program anywhere in the world by visiting my website, buckmastershow.com, which is also the place for our very complete archive. 13 full years of programs are archived for you at buckmastershow.com. For our telephone interviews, our live line is presented by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. We're going to utilize the live line right off the bat. April is National Sexual Assault Awareness Month. Joining us on the live line, Caitlin Monhay is the director of the Southern Arizona Center Against Sexual Assault. Hey, Caitlin, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing so well. How are you doing?
Doing well. Thank you for asking. Tell us a little bit about the Southern Arizona Center Against Sexual Assault. How did that get started?
Absolutely. So the Southern Arizona Center Against Sexual Assault, or SACASA, is an agency that's been around since 1973, started as sort of a grassroots movement, and has just evolved so much over time as we recognize the needs of our community. But today we're a division of CODAC, which is a large integrated health agency here in Tucson. And the combination of CODAC and SACASA programming makes us the largest provider of sexual assault services in the state. So we're able to help victims of sexual violence through a full continuum of services.
Tell us a little bit about some of those services, Caitlin.
Yeah, I'd be happy to. We have a 24-hour crisis line that's offered in English and Spanish, and with translation services available for other languages, of course. We have a 24/7 hospital response program in which we dispatch crisis advocates and medical forensic examiners into local hospitals so we can provide immediate support to recent victims of assault. We offer therapy to individuals, couples, and families in group and one-on-one settings to help them through some really difficult times. And we support survivors during legal proceedings, including attending court with them. Really, we just aim to support survivors throughout the different stages of their recovery, and we have some really compassionate group of folks helping to provide all of these services at no cost to survivors.
So if a victim wants to report the assault, you can help with that and all the that goes along with that and all the emotional part of that.
Absolutely. We can help them understand what their reporting rights are, their rights as a victim of a crime, what their medical options are, and absolutely emotional support throughout.
Caitlin, I've been looking at some of these statistics surrounding sexual violence. Not a pretty picture, is it?
Mm-mm, not at all. We have some staggering statistics. I mean, every 68 seconds in America, there's somebody who is sexually assaulted. So even just, you know, the course of our, you know, fewer than 10 minutes, you know, today, that could be almost nine people. And, you know, every year we have around 60,000 children who are victims of substantiated or indicated sexual abuse. We see it within our military personnel. One in six women and one in 33 men have been a victim of an attempted or completed rape. I mean, the numbers just keep on going. It's really difficult. But these numbers always represent, you know, people in our own communities, you know, people we know and we care about and we love. And that's really important to remember when we're talking about statistics.
Yeah. And talking about statistics, perhaps you can give us kind of the ballpark overview or the 30,000 foot look at how serious a problem is it here in Southern Arizona, Caitlin?
Well, I can tell you, just looking at the fiscal year of 2023 for SACASA, we helped nearly 2,500 individuals just on our crisis line. We provided over 1,200 therapy services. Over 150 support groups were attended throughout the year. And we saw almost 500 survivors at the hospital. So again, those are recent survivors of sexual assault. And we provided 205 medical forensic exams. And again, we're really grateful that we were able to support each of these survivors and their families. But it's so important to note that sexual assault is far more extensive than is actually reported. Many victims never reach out for support, never report to law enforcement, or even disclose to their loved ones. So we still have a lot of work to do in raising awareness and decreasing stigma so that people can feel safe coming forward, seeking and receiving the help that they deserve, all, of course, while fighting to prevent this in the first place.
As I mentioned at the top of the show, April is National Sexual Assault Awareness Month, and you guys put on a day-long event to raise awareness about sexual assault. It's called Dine Out for Safety. Tell us a bit about this event. It sounds like a really terrific event.
Absolutely. We're really excited for this. This is our 25th year of Dine Out for Safety. It's happening on April 17th, and we have 22 local Tucson restaurants who are participating and donating up to 20% of their proceeds from breakfast, lunch, and or dinner to support victims of sexual violence through the services we provide at SACASA. On that same day, we'll have volunteers in those restaurants selling raffle tickets for many great prizes that range from things like jewelry to theater tickets and attraction tickets, even, you know, across the state, including out in Phoenix. We have hotel stays and just so much more.
Yeah, and I'm looking through the list of the restaurants. One of our great sponsors, Noble Hops, is on the list there for lunch and dinner. Why don't you hit on a few more here on that list?
Absolutely. We have such a great lineup, so bear with me because I want to share with everyone all of them so you can make your plans and find the best spot for you. But we've got Brother John's Beer, Bourbon, and Barbecue for dinner, Feast for lunch and dinner, and that menu changes monthly and is always just so wonderful. We've got Gourmet Girls Gluten-Free Bakery and Bistro for breakfast and lunch, Mama Luisa's for lunch and dinner, Noble Hops for lunch and dinner, Riley Craft Pizza and Drink for dinner, both locations of Vero Amore for lunch and dinner. So there's your wood-fired pizza and amazing pastas. All of the C. Charles restaurants, I love this, including all three locations of El Charo, the Monica, Charo Steak and Del Rey, Charo Chico, and Charo Vida. So you can't go wrong with one of those amazing restaurants. We've got Transplant Detroit-style pizza, JoJo's, which was formerly La Cocina, and Ceres Pasta and Bread, Nudie's down by the U of A campus. We've got Ike's Coffee and Tea downtown, and Yellow Brick Coffee at the Benedictine. And we've got Tap and Bottle downtown, and something really special here this year, we have live music going on at Tap and Bottle by four amazing local bands who are donating their time and talents on April 17th, too. So that'll be Barnaby and the Butcher, Laura Jean, Billy Shaw Jr., and Amy Munoz and the Strange Vacation. So yeah. Our goal is really to be out among people and, you know, ideally reducing stigma around this topic, getting people talking about it in kind of a lighthearted but, you know, meaningful way, and letting them know how to get help if they've experienced it. And in the process, we're raising vital funds for the organization. So win-win.
Yeah, I'm not surprised that Noble Hops, Suzanne, one of our great sponsors, and, of course, Vero Amore, their other property, are involved with this. It really is a great cause. Before we let you go, Caitlin, let's talk about, is there a price to attend?
No fee for admission or anything like that. You simply get to gather your friends, coworkers, and family and just treat yourself to a meal at one of these delicious restaurants. Consider buying some of our raffle tickets. And just by doing that, you are supporting survivors of sexual violence.
Yeah. So, and if somebody can't attend but would like to support you guys and survivors of sexual assault, tell us a little bit about, the grand prize that's available.
Yes, the grand prize for the raffle tickets for Dine Out this year is a package of gift certificates to all of the participating restaurants, so all 22 of them. So it's huge, valued at over $1,100. And you can buy these raffle tickets now online through April 17th. You can also make tax-deductible donations to SACASA by simply going to our website. So you can visit SACASA.org, so SACASA.org, or DineOutForSafety.org. And you can call us at 520-327-1171.
Caitlin Monhey, thank you very much, and congratulations. Sounds like another great lineup of restaurants for the annual Dine Out for Safety. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Bill. We appreciate you.
All right. Thank you. We'll take a break right here in a moment, but first I want to talk a little bit about my favorite bakery in town while we're talking about eateries. How about Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise? Mona's is open right now for lunch. They open for breakfast 6:30 in the morning, Tuesday through Sunday, a great location up there on the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. You can check out their website, be very tempted to take a look at all the pictures of the menu items, monasdanishbakery.com. And of course, that added enhancement, there is now liquor available. They have the liquor license, and you can do a beer with your lunch, and the wine is available, the champagne for the champagne and orange juice mimosa in the morning. They got you covered at Mona's. Take a break right here, then we will check in from Istanbul, Turkey. Shelley Fishman. I wonder how the trip is going. We'll find out.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year plan includes roadway, transit, pedestrian, bicycle, and many other transportation improvements across the region. Pima County voters approved the plan in 2006, and the RTA is finalizing a new 20-year plan for RTA board review and approval to seek public feedback on the draft plan. Sign up at rtanext.com for updates.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com.
Are you ready to immerse yourself in a diverse culture while wandering through bustling markets, sampling exotic cuisines, or forging connections with people from all walks of life? Well, Bon Voyage Travel is here to plan your perfect journey. Whether you're setting off on a solo expedition, embarking on a group adventure, or simply dreaming of far-off destinations, we can help create your custom experience. The road ahead is filled with endless possibilities. Visit bvtravel.com to find your specialized Bon Voyage Travel advisor today.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
Shelley Fishman is a financial advisor and business consultant in Tucson, Arizona. Contact Shelley via buckmastershow.com or directly via email at saf824@earthlink.net.
And we are going to contact Shelley Fishman, fingers crossed here, all the way to Istanbul, Turkey. Shelley, good evening to you. I know you're about, it's 10:20 in the evening. In Istanbul. How are you doing?
Well, I'm doing well. Actually, we left Istanbul day before yesterday. I am currently in the middle of the Aegean Sea, traveling between Ephesus, which is one of the largest prehistoric and historical architectural sites in all of this area of the world, and on my way to Rhodes, Greece. So, yes, it's about a quarter after, 20 after 10 in the evening, and it's just been a magnificent trip so far. Istanbul is just gorgeous. It's huge, about 20 million people, and about 20 million dogs and cats that roam the streets. And they're licensed and spayed, and the dogs have tags on their ears, but they're feral. It's really interesting.
Yeah, I've heard about that. I've heard about that dog and cat program that they have in Istanbul. It's really incredible. They take pretty much every stray dog or cat, it gets some kind of care and is registered. It's really amazing from what I hear.
Right, it is, and they don't fight with each other, and they'll, you know, as likely fall asleep in the middle of the street, and people walk around them as if they weren't there. It's just remarkable. Then yesterday we were in the remains of the city of Troy, and that's a work in progress as they try to restore it. The most complete piece of that legend is the model of the Trojan horse that was used in the Brad Pitt movie Troy, and that's right on the waterfront in the current Turkish city, and it's fun to see. And then today we were at Ephesus, which is a very well restored series of both Greco and Roman remains. Ephesus plays a large part in the history of Christianity. The Virgin Mary actually took up residence there at the end of her life and died there. The restored Roman ruins there are just remarkable to see. And now we've left Turkey and are on our way to Greece.
How is your reception there in Turkey? The people welcoming to you?
So as I say, we've left Turkey now. We're on our way to Greece and the island of Rhodes.
So let's talk a little bit about what's been going on with the market. We've had some really last week was the worst week in quite a while, in many months. What's your take?
Well, you know, It was a horrible week, but there's so much uncertainty going on in the markets now. You know, we arrived here on Thursday. On Saturday, down the block, a war got bigger. And, you know, believe it or not, we looked at this huge ship we were about to get on that was alone in the harbor at Istanbul docked. And I'm thinking to myself, gosh, that's quite a target.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's cruise and there's a lot of Americans on board. But that kind of anxiety, I think, really did spread itself around the markets last week. We had other things going on as well. There was uncertainty about just what was going to happen with the budgets. There's, you know, uncertainty going on with the trials in New York right now, and we also had a number of corporate CEOs doing what they're, you know, compelled to do as a public, you know, as heads of public companies every quarter, and that's issue a prospectus, if you will, for what's going to happen over the, you know, the short and medium term, And the largest corporate executive group was expressing some hesitation and some cautions about the things going on in the world. I mean, you know, two major wars and the prospect of one of them getting even bigger. So it wasn't a good week last week. We're down below 38,000 in the Dow. Having a better day today. I think it's going to be a little bit of rough going between now and probably 3 or 4 months from now.
What were some of your impressions? We talked a little bit about the wonderful program they have treating animals, but what are some of the impressions you had of Turkey? Were the people very welcoming to you, Shell?
The people seemed very friendly, very welcoming. Of course, we were largely in the tourist areas, so there's, you know, a lot of encouragement to come on in and buy something. And you can't walk down the street without experiencing that. We did get to speak to some locals, just because I do that to try to get an impression for what's happening. Didn't get into the politics of things, but did find out that when you ask people what Turkey is all about and what its economics are all about, you don't get the sense that this is a highly industrialized country. You get the sense that agriculture is king. And when you talk about, you know, what their largest exports are, wheat, peaches, figs, and rugs. And rugs are certainly a manufactured item, but they're hand-manufactured, and they're manufactured from agricultural products. Mm-hmm. So it is not what you would normally see in a European country. And I, you know, would point out that Turkey, though it's part of the EU, the largest landmass of Turkey is in Asia.
Hmm.
You go across the bridge from Europe to Asia, and you're in Asia. And that's not to say that Asia isn't industrialized, but this part of Asia tends to be highly agricultural.
Yeah, I mean, Istanbul, so I have not been there. One of the few places, maybe, I shouldn't say that, few places in the world I have not been, but I've been to a lot of places. But the pictures I've seen of the restorations of some of the Ottoman Empire era buildings look just fantastic.
Well, that's right. And we toured some of those buildings, two of the largest mosques in Istanbul, one of which, of course, started off as a church, and then went from a Roman Catholic church to an Eastern Orthodox church, and then became a mosque when the Ottomans took over. It is still among the four largest places of worship in the world. It's just a remarkable interior. You wonder how a building of that size can just remain standing in a country that is plagued with earthquakes.
Yeah, yeah. Are we talking about what's commonly referred to as the Blue Mosque? Is that it?
That's exactly right. Yeah. And the interior is just it's remarkable, because what we're used to seeing in a Gothic or a Romanesque church is, you know, a lot of columns holding it up. And very rarely do you see a large expanse without columns holding it up. Now, of course, if you go to St. Peter's or if you go to some of the churches in Spain, you will see these large expanses. But this is like that. It's like, in some ways, like, you know, being in a football stadium with a big dome. You just wonder what in the world is holding this up, and you're several, you know, stories high. So not only is the space huge, but there are several floors that are flat, of course, and you wonder, gosh, what's holding that up? But you know, they worked it out, and there's a very famous, and the name is escaping me right now, but there was a famous architect in Turkey around 1400 or 1500 who came in and reinforced all those buildings, and he did an awfully good job because they're still standing.
How's the Turkish lira doing to the dollar?
It's about 32 cents per lira, and apparently that's been pretty stable for a long time. Turkey is an EU country, but it is not on the euro.
All right. Well, Shell, you've got all sorts of exciting adventures ahead of you, sailing right now on the Aegean Sea. And I guess Athens will be your next kind of big city, right?
Yeah. We'll be in Athens on Saturday, and then we spend the next week meandering up to Venice. and then we'll be landbound for the, you know, following 2 weeks.
Well, it's perfect time of year to be there before the hot weather settles in. They're already having, over in Spain, forest fires have already started. They've had some record heat in Spain, so could be a very hot summer. Yep.
It's already in the mid-80s here, and, and this is right on the water.
So, there you go.
Yeah, it's going to be a hot summer.
Okay, Shelley, we'll talk to you in a week. Thank you very much. Enjoy.
You bet. Thank you, Bill.
All right. Shelley Fishman on board a cruise. He's in the middle of the Aegean Sea. Had a great time in Istanbul, and we'll check in with him a week from today. But coming up next, General Ted Maxwell in studio with me. A ton of things to unpack with Ted right after this.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
Family-owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rieto River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. My goodness, our hour goes so fast. We're already at the midway point of the Buckmaster Show. This portion, first of all, we are in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. What a perfect time of year for Green Things. 3384 East River Road by the Rito River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. So many of my friends go over there, and so many of our listeners love to go there. I go there. It's everything you need for the garden. You've got the plants, the accessories there at Zocalo Village, some beautiful imported merchandise. GreenThingsAZ.com and ZilkalowVillage.com, the two websites open daily in their 53rd year of business. When we do our telephone interviews, and the first half of the show today was telephonically, that's presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. I just love all of our sponsors, just really good people, everybody I can recommend. And I can recommend General Ted Maxwell. He's a stand-up good guy. And General Maxwell is with me in studio. He is the CEO of the Southern Arizona Leadership Council. Not only CEO, but he's president and has been of that organization since 2018. Former military man, 34 years of military service, including 15 years in active duty Air Force. He's an Air Force Academy grad. He had additional 19 years in the Arizona Air Guard, retired as a major general in 2018, and his final military position before retiring was Commander Arizona Air National Guard. Governor Ducey appointed him to represent Pima County on the 7-member Arizona State Transportation Board. He is now the current chair. He is the ADOT representative on the 9-member Regional Transportation Authority Board of Directors, and he is now the current chair of that RTA board. So a lot to unpack with General Maxwell, and I should point out he's had his show is doing very well. It's every Tuesday at 9 o'clock here on KVOI, and you take a deep dive into a particular subject. Today you had Sister Jose, right, General?
I did. It was absolutely incredible. You know, I've heard so much about Ajean, the founder and the mm-hmm. CEO, who just recently gave up, about a year ago, gave up the role of CEO to become the chief mission officer because she's so committed to the women that she serves and helping them out. And Nicola Hartman took over, who's had a long stretch with the nonprofit organizations throughout Southern Arizona, include Yodo, San Miguel, and the Sunnyside Foundation. And those two leaders of Sister Jose are so committed to the mission, so committed to making every woman they interact with understand that they personally know them and they are a part of society.
Well, you're learning on a live radio show. You're meeting a lot of people, not that you don't had not known and do know a lot of people, but this really opens a lot of doors and you learn something, right?
You do. You do. And the whole premise of the 9 to 10 o'clock jump in segment on Tuesday is engagement.
Yeah. Yes.
Trying to get people involved. So I've interviewed elected officials. Mm-hmm. I've interviewed public servants, healthcare folks, leaders of business organizations, and leaders of nonprofits. And that's all service to our community and to our country. You know, I go down, and we might hit this later today, is the number one thing every citizen should understand is their most important power they are given is the power of the vote. But I take it a step farther, saying make sure it's an informed vote, because mm-hmm. we can all fill out a ballot.
Yeah.
And when it comes to making an informed vote, it's quite often I'm not talking about the individual races, although mm-hmm. you need to be informed on that. But
yeah.
that's generally, you know, lining your beliefs. But it's when you get to the propositions mm-hmm. and the items that are on there that your informed vote, if you firewall it yes or firewall them all no, you're not making good decisions. And a no and a yes can have just as much power when it comes to what you're voting on at the ballot.
And this will be such a very complicated ballot. First of all, tomorrow will be a very important day at the legislature.
Yeah, the last, one of the reasons you were mentioning the fluidity of radio, and I had scrambled, and luckily the folks from Sister Jose's were willing to come in early and be live on the show today, because I was planning on talking with one of our state representatives, but because of the chaos going on up legislature, particularly surrounding the abortion issue now, and then there were some leaks yesterday and some plans got disclosed, tomorrow there will probably be several thousand people up there on both sides of the discussion to basically let their voice be known, as both the House and Senate, which are only meeting one day a week now,
what?
On Wednesdays, And they come in on Wednesdays to do their business while the budget negotiations continue. So there are senators and representatives that are part of the budget negotiations, but otherwise they've recessed except for one day of the week to have a formal gaveling in.
And so the repeal of the 1864 abortion law is pretty much expected tomorrow?
I wouldn't say it's expected.
I
think coming into it, I think you would have expected it, but now there's discussions on whether it should be repealed or shouldn't, and are there going to be one, maybe two ballot initiatives put forward?
Yeah,
which would probably have to come on a party line vote, but which will be, I won't say in opposition of the current abortion access initiative that's got over 500,000 votes, but it'd be different. That one takes the abortion access to viability of the fetus outside of the womb and. In some exceptions, all the way up to 9 months. I think what you might see come out of the legislature tomorrow will be potentially one that's exactly what we've currently, you know, the 15-week bill. But you also might see one that comes out with a much shorter, maybe more similar to the heartbeat initiative that was passed in Texas, where it'd take it down to about 6 weeks. I mean, I don't know what's going to come forward, but we've already talked about the number of propositions that are going to be on this year's ballot.
Yeah.
And this is potentially going to add two more. And that goes back to, yes, we all need to vote. That's part of our civic duties. But we need to make sure we're informed on what the votes we are making and the outcome they have. Not just on this issue, which you may have three of them to vote on.
Yeah.
But on the other 10 to 12 initiatives that are going to be on the ballot.
You know, I do want to point out Senator Bennett was on the program. He was my Friday Focus interview.
I listened to that.
And it was, I felt it was very informative. And we, Kurt Prendergast was with me from Tucson Agenda. He and Caitlin Schmidt are doing such a great job with that. It's a lot of work involved with that. But we tried to ascertain, and Ken, Senator Bennett, was very transparent. He said one-third of the Republicans are still on board with the 1864 law.
Yeah, and Bill, I listened to that show. Yeah. I was driving across town for another meeting, and you guys didn't throw him softballs.
No.
In fact, you even followed up when you didn't get an answer that
was
detailed enough.
No, we did not give him softballs, and bless his heart, we kept him. He had an engagement. He was to speak at a graduation. Did speak there, we made him about 10 minutes late.
Yeah,
but
you
still
kept him in the parking lot.
We kept him in the parking lot, but we got a good feel of that there is substantial support for this Civil War era law.
Yeah.
Territorial law.
I think he may be, I mean, if you take in the total number of Republicans in the two houses, it's about 47. So if you take, say, 30%, that's going to be about 13, 14 representatives. And that could be very true. One of the advantages of independent redistricting is they make sure that there's a balance of safe Republican and safe Democratic districts. Well, guess what? When you make any district safe, it's going to run more to the edges.
Yeah.
And that's what you find. You find some districts that are very conservative, just as on the Democrat side, you're going to find some that are very progressive. Mm-hmm. And that leads to legislators who believe that. And if your fundamental belief is that life begins at conception,
yes,
you should argue until you're. But now they're having to consider not only the ramifications of the impact on society with their decisions, but also the ramifications where they really worry about is on their reelectability.
Yeah.
So it's you know, the repeal of Roe v. Wade created one issue, the Supreme Court ruling, which I agree with the literal interpretation of what they were ruling on.
Mm-hmm.
It was very clear that in order to get 31 and 16 to get that 15 votes, because nobody on the Democrat side was going to vote for that bill that Governor Ducey signed, they had to include that language, assuming Roe v. Wade would never be overturned. It was, and you get folks claiming victory.
So if the 1864 law is repealed tomorrow, that reverts back to the 2022 law that Governor Ducey signed.
Correct. The challenge is Most laws that are signed into law and repeals that are signed into law take effect 90 days after signing.
Exactly. There is a waiting period.
So
we may have like a no man's land.
We may have a you know, a month to month and a half gap where we may still be under the 1864 law. But if they want to get to the bottom line, as Senator Bennett, Representative Bennett now made clear.
Senator Bennett.
You have to repeal first.
Yeah.
And that's the big question. Will that happen tomorrow?
Okay, we're up against the break, but the package of items could be, there could be three women's right, reproductive rights measures on the ballot, but then there could be a variety of others that might take it to a baker's dozen, 13.
I think we'll be looking close to that.
Give us sort of an overview of the type of
You've got four items. Citizens initiatives, which include a minimum wage act that are gathering. There's a lot more citizens initiatives
than
that.
And when is the deadline? It's in July,
right? It's in July.
Okay.
And you got the abortion access.
Yeah.
One, you've got make elections fair, which is proposing none. You've got the minimum wage as well. And now I'm going to draw a blank on the fourth. But you've got four citizen initiatives, and you already have six legislative referred propositions. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't include Prop 123, which is set to expire. And that's the one that uses state land trust to fund education. And that's got to get back on the ballot. So that's at least seven plus four plus two. We're at baker's dozen if they add two tomorrow. Now, there's no guarantee they're going to add two tomorrow. But
we'll see. All right, General, we're going to take a break right here. Back with you right after this.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastropub, serving an ever-changing menu of craft beer and fine fare. Savor the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at West Lambert Lane in North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies. On the web at noblehops.com.
International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We are also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax. The RTA is the largest annual funder of regional transportation improvements in the region, averaging more than $100 million in tax revenue each year. The RTA is preparing a new 20-year plan for public review prior to a May 2025 election. Sign up at rtanext.com for updates.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studios. We send so many of our listeners not only to Green Things, but a little bit further afield over to Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. And it's not a bad drive at all, about 3 hours. A very friendly place, very welcoming to Tucsonans. A lot of Tucson residents go over there. The elevation is just right, 5,000 to 7,000 feet. It's going to be cooler, and we can really start hammering that sales point as we it won't be long. You know what I'm saying, as we get closer to that 100-degree mark. Visit southwestnewmexico.org for more information about your upcoming visit over to Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. General Ted Maxwell is here from the Southern Arizona Leadership Council, and he wears so many different hats. Let's talk a little bit. Let's leave the legislature behind for a few minutes, General, and talk about the Regional Transportation Authority Board of Directors. You're now the current chair of that 9-member board. You've got two more meetings before the self-imposed deadline concerning RTA next. Where are we right now?
Well, we're making progress. The technical management committee, before our last meeting 2 weeks ago, the technical management committee spent 8 hours, two different days. They tell you closer to nine, trying to come up with a compromise solution. Mike Ortega is the chair of that committee, and he obviously was advocating I think most of the municipalities are okay where we sit now, but the city of Tucson's not. And that's very, very important because they represent over 50% of the population. If my goal as the chair of the RTA is that we get out of there with a 9-0 vote on whatever plan we finally craft.
Yeah, that's logical. That's nine entities that will try, presumably, to sell this to the voters.
Absolutely.
You don't want one dissenting vote because that could doom the whole thing right off the bat. The numbers wouldn't be there then.
Bingo.
Yeah.
And that's the case. So we're close. We've agreed that there needs to be contingency funding in there. We've agreed that we need to have some bonding funding in there so we could bond the first couple years as we start to collect the tax. We did have George Hammond come in and give us an update.
From the U of A, the economic forecaster from Eller College, yep.
Absolutely, and he came back with a pessimistic view over 20 years is $2.45 billion. And the optimistics is about 2.75.
So it's somewhere billion. Probably in between.
And right now we've all agreed to go with the pessimistic view. Okay. However, that is leaving a lot of money potentially on the table, which could bring, you know, more of it could be put towards some of the projects the city of Tucson wants and bring it into a balance. You know, 52% of the population, they collect over 60% of the RTA tax. But mm-hmm. remember, a lot of us who don't live in the city pay taxes in the city as well.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not, you know, the mayor put down the last meeting what her number is, and they'd like to get about 60 or 55%. And right now they're sitting right just under 50. So we know we've got to make some more headway. I think what you might see us address in order to do that is the city's comfortable with the money between the amount between the pessimistic view and the baseline, mm-hmm. not the optimistic. The optimistic is up at $3 billion, mm-hmm. But not the. But they're willing to take a chance on that happening. And I think we've got to come to an agreement of how we can structure that so that a lot of that extra money that may come in if we just meet the baseline, mm-hmm. in other words, we're not having this pessimistic view, mm-hmm. that money can be allocated to those projects that the city of Tucson wanted added into the program.
And that would be added into the so if anything above that,
the 2.45,
yeah,
above the pessimistic,
they get
perhaps the first $300 million, and then
that
if it's,
makes sense.
Then if it's above, the baseline and
yeah.
it's optimistic, then we all generate.
Yeah.
So there's going to be some variant, I think, of that discussion,
mm-hmm.
And we've got 2 months to get there. Now, what happens if we don't come to a conclusion in May? Well, we've got one of two things that gets cut short. One would be the amount of public outreach we can have. I mean,
and how many months are budgeted for the public outreach?
It'd basically be that time till the end of the year, so 7 months.
Cut that down if you had to, maybe 5 months.
You could. I think we could, and that'd be my initial my initial position.
If
would
you
be,
had to.
Let's cut it down because we still want to be on the ballot in May, because if we're on the ballot in May of 25, it gives us that opportunity. And if some reason it doesn't fail, which if we get a 9-0 vote, I don't think it's going to fail.
Yeah.
But if it does, then we've got another shot.
You could retool and then go back.
Right.
Yeah.
Before we lose the RTA funding.
Yeah.
We'd have to change some of the language so that it happens quick. But the other option would be just to slide the election date maybe into August of 25. But now we're taking only one shot. We've only got one opportunity at it. So I've got faith that we've got an opportunity to get there by May with at least a plan that we want to take to the public. Because what the purpose of taking to the public is, that's not our final plan that we're sending to the board to put on the ballot.
No.
That's to get
input. It's an outline, basically.
Get input, what the citizens and the voters like, what they don't like, what's missing, and we make changes. The RTA one, which had a 9-0 vote, during its public outreach phases, there were additions, subtractions, and changes made to the plan. That's the purpose. We want to hear from the citizens. My biggest fear remains, and I said this at the end of the RTA meeting the other day, I know every single one of the municipalities believes they can do it on their own. Pima County can't.
No, that's right.
They require, one, a unanimous vote to implement a half-cent sales tax. And people forget, if they implement that, that's countywide, which takes the opportunity for the cities to go either off the measure, or they're going to have a much higher sales tax, a full penny in the long run. And 36% of our citizens live in unincorporated Pima County.
Including me.
Right. And so now you're saying, okay, you don't get any regional
money. No.
And the thing that I said, it's not just the financial part, it's the regional approach. There's a reason Oracle is effectively a freeway in a roadway construction, because we never took the regional approach to making a north-south transition. I-10's the only freeway we have. I think the day of that has come and gone. We've come up with a lot of other creative ways to try to make better higher speed, you know, arterial roads. But there are some people that say, why should we do that? Because you live farther outside the city too. So, we've got to think regionally, people. Our community as a whole in Pima County, there's a lot of different segments in Pima County, including the municipalities, that don't agree. Well, if we start all doing our own thing, it's going to hurt us in the long run.
And the state's not going to bail us out.
So as we've talked about this many times, there's no funding there. And people go, oh, yeah, but the feds just did this big infusion of IIJA. Yeah, IIJA was a five-year plan. And a lot of it was one-time money. New program, one-time money.
Yeah.
So we need
that's the regional plan approach to finish up the I-10 between Tucson and Phoenix. Right.
Yes, we got
but
that.
But we're not talking about Tucson.
Actually, the funny part about I-10, the majority of the funding, the last grant we just received gave us about about $140 million, not somewhere in that range, to take us over the top on the money we need for I-10. The majority of the money actually came from the state legislature. But that's when they had surpluses. They're not in a surplus situation any longer.
Nope.
And it's going to hurt when the regional areas who can afford to add a half-cent sales tax to address infrastructure, stop. The ones that hurts also are the rural counties.
Yep.
Because they can't. They don't have a big enough tax base to take care of it. So they benefit also when the regions, like Pinal, hopefully in the future, Pima and Maricopa right now, are able to take care of their infrastructure.
All right, General Ted Maxwell, we'll look for your work on KVOI every Tuesday from 9 to 10. Always a pleasure. Thank you, General.
Thank you, Bill. I always enjoy it, and it's always brisk.
It always is. Goes very quickly. On behalf of General Maxwell and John, engineering and producing the show, Bill Buckmaster, wishing everyone well.